Thanks for listening to the Best of Outkick the Coverage podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the Coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis on Fox Sports Radio.
Last night, gambling-wise, as part of Lock It In, I went safe, what I thought was safe. I did a three-game money line parlay. For those of you who don't know, money line is just betting on a team to win, not based on a line. So I bet on Gonzaga to win. They blow out San Francisco, I think it was, not remotely close. I bet on Oklahoma City to beat the Grizzlies, not remotely close. And I bet on the Celtics to beat the Lakers, and that was the right side, and I still ended up losing, and that's why I say I'm cursed. Just absolutely cursed. Now I've lost the week and Lock It In again when I should have if that stupid Rondo bucket hadn't happened, or if somehow the Celtics had just gotten the ball as LeBron James is going out of bounds with 40 seconds left or whatever the heck it is, and he just flings it backwards in what should have been a clear turnover, and somehow it goes right to a Laker who then kicks it back to him for a three in the corner. This is a brutal series of bad luck. Having said that, the Lakers are dead. They're buried. Put the dirt on them. They're finished now. I think they're finished for years to come. Nobody wants to play with LeBron James. He's an old-ass dude who is on the backside of his career. And then as soon as Rondo hit that shot, I'm like, I got to go in and talk to all these Laker losers on my show who are going to be running around like they just won a championship back in the 80s with Pat Riley.
I thought you were going to go to us in the last segment, Clay.
You mean so, Laker winners?
Laker losers.
Winners.
First of all, Danny G is back. Danny G is like, he's sick because he went to the Super Bowl after all the bragging that he did about how much better he was going to be than Jason Martin because he showed up for five straight days on Radio Row and he managed to handle it. He misses 2 days this week because his delicate immune system fell apart as soon as he got back. I don't even know. I got to give J-Mart credit here because J-Mart went 9 out of 10 days.
He also went missing. He went missing during the biggest week of the year, though.
It's
true. Was early every single show.
He missed one of the biggest days of the biggest week of the year, but then the week after, he was still healthy. He was still there. I don't know why I'm surrounded with people with the worst immune systems on the planet. Do you know how many days I have missed on this show in four different calendar years for sickness? Zero. Not one sick. I'm not even sure. It's the truth. I texted
you. Well, you never step outside your house.
That's because I got to stay healthy. Yeah. But you know what? I got three little kids bringing in a petri dish of illnesses all the time.
Well, that's true. That's why you have a strong immune system.
Here's the deal. I don't even know if I have sick leave. This is not even a joke. Did I not text you recently and say, hey, do we get sick leave? Nobody's even told me because I haven't missed a day for being sick. And I'm probably jinxing myself now. I'm not even sure. Now, people out there are like, yeah, but you missed it. Yeah, I take vacation. I take time off. Like, I'm going to be on next week, and then I'll be off the next week after that. The President's Day week, I usually try to get away because football season's over. So I'll get away for vacation. But in terms of actual sickness, I have yet to miss a day. So I'm not even sure. I asked. I think we get sick leave. I texted our boss, Scott Shapiro, the other day. Never responded. I don't even know. I like, if I'm near death, I don't even know that I have the opportunity not to come on. So sometimes people complain like, hey, like your voice doesn't sound perfect. Yeah, that's because I'm sick. And that's because I'm on the radio. So anyway, the Lakers suck. Congratulations
sure
on getting this win.
Gotcha.
Sure sounds like LeBron penetrated that amazing immune system of yours.
No, I'm
fool's gold.
Healthy.
Are you really going to stick with that fool's gold? Because usually, even when you're wrong, unless you lose like $30,000, you're a little more objective than this.
No, this was
I think
fool's gold.
You have a Laker itis right now.
22 out of 41.
You even convinced your TV co-host yesterday. By the end of the show, they were even agreeing with you about this dumpster fire with a capital D. The rest of the Lakers season is a wash.
The Lakers had shot 16 for 41.
Focus on the lottery.
A phenomenal day of three-point shooting. they would have lost by 17 in this game.
Clay, if the Lakers would have made their free throws, they would have won this game by 15.
Well, they're not going to. It's true that they would have shot free throws ordinarily better, but the percentage by which 22 out of 41 from three is fool's gold. If you shoot 54% from three, again, if they just shot 16 for 41, that's 40%. That's a phenomenal day of shooting by and large.
If any other team had their back to the wall like this and had the media breathing down their neck the way you and everyone else nationally was lambasting the Lakers all week long, you thought they were going to lay down. You said they were going to get blown out by the Celtics. You raved about it all day long yesterday. Nobody wants to play with LeBron. He's going to have to shoot the ball 100 times because teammates don't want to play with him. And the Lakers showed up in a major way, showed a lot of heart, and proved to you and other people who just started watching basketball right after the football season ended that they had a good thing going before LeBron's injury.
They are not going to win a series in the playoffs if they even make the playoffs.
Yeah, and the Patriots aren't going to make the playoffs.
No, they're not going to win a series even if they make the playoffs.
Yeah, they will.
Write it down. Bet as much as money as you want on it. The Lakers are a dead franchise.
Celtics by 10.
Magic Johnson walking around like a mummy out there. He's got no idea what he's doing. They can't get anybody to come join LeBron James because LeBron is getting old and because none of the other teams want to deal with them. This is a team that is falling apart. The best thing they can have happen for them is if another team falls apart as well. And that's like Kevin Durant deciding to go to New York and taking away some of the top talent in the Western Conference. But I don't think you can grab this audio. You can hold it for the next 10 years, however long LeBron thinks he's going to play. LeBron James is not going to win another championship in the NBA. And I don't even think he's going to come close to winning one. Unless, and this is my caveat, unless when his time with the Lakers runs out in three more years, he still wants to continue to play in the NBA, and he decides to then be like a vagabond, you know, ninth guy on a bench where he's going to try to steal championships by being a low man on the totem pole. I legitimately have no doubt at all about that. Does anybody else agree with me? Dub, are you with me here?
I don't bet against LeBron, Clay.
So you think LeBron is going to win another championship?
I do.
Yeah, you're wrong. Where's Eddie Garcia? Eddie, do you agree with me that LeBron's never going to win another championship?
I'm leaning that way. How about that?
That's at least helpful. I can't rely on any kind of reasonableness from the Laker.
You haven't asked Danny or me yet.
He doesn't need to ask.
It just sounds like you're fishing right now, Clay.
No. Let's go to take some calls. 877-996-6369. Tavares in North Carolina. What's up, Tavares?
Hey, CT, man, I love you, but I have to disagree with you. We just witnessed Harrison Barnes get traded in the middle of a game and then not play the second half because of ownership and the way they do business and the way that they hold somebody's destiny in their hands when they are a mediocre player or average NBA player. When you are a great player like LeBron, you can own your own destiny and you make the calls. What's wrong with that? That's called being a boss. And then letting your
talent
speak for
itself. But hold on, Tavares. He's being a boss, but he's not that good at being a boss, because if he were, he wouldn't have totally mishandled and misplayed this Anthony Davis situation such that Anthony Davis is never going to play with the Lakers until maybe he signs as a free agent in a year and a half when LeBron is 74 years old.
But, Clay, that when Anthony Davis was on the bench, what did the Pelicans look like? That's their mistake. They didn't take what the Lakers were offering them. LeBron James, how many times has this man been in the finals? He's a winner. He's a winner. What negative do we have to say about LeBron regarding – I mean, we could talk about, you know, what we don't like as far as basketball and his decisions that he made. But personally, he's perfect. He's Tom Brady-esque. He just didn't win championships. He takes teams to the finals.
This is my thanks for the call. This
finals is more than LeBron.
This is my thing with LeBron stands out there. Why is going to the finals and losing an incredible accomplishment? This is all about the millennial generation. They don't talk about championships anymore. They talk about almost winning championships. Oh, look at LeBron. He's been in the big game a ton, and he's lost.
Wait a second, though. Just a couple of weeks ago, you gave a take on this show saying that a player's reputation shouldn't take a ding because they got to a finals or Super Bowl and lost.
But you shouldn't argue that he deserves to be on a different caliber because he gets to the finals and loses. I'm saying I'm putting LeBron James in the exact same spot I would if he was 3-0, right, in the finals, as the fact that he's 3-6. But I'm also not going to sit around and say that if Tom Brady had been to 9 Super Bowls and he had gone 3-6 in those 9 Super Bowls, that a big part of Tom Brady's legacy wouldn't have been his failure to win Super Bowls when he got there. Is it still better to get to the Super Bowl than to lose before you get there? Sure. But I don't think you can brag about the fact that you have lost a lot. Like, I got so close to making the summit of Mount Everest. All right, that's kind of a good thing. This dude, like, imagine. This guy decided he was going to climb Mount Everest. And right before he got to the summit, 6 times he got altitude sickness, and he wasn't able to make it there. Well, it's still impressive. But it's not like I'm going to say, like, hey, look at this dude. He went up 9 times to try to make it to the summit, and 6 times he got altitude sickness and didn't make it the rest of the way. Yeah, it's kind of good, I guess, that you have the toughness to be able to get close, but I'm not going to brag about you almost doing something. I don't think you should be able to say, like, that's my thing on the Jordan people. The Jordan people who are like, well, he's 6-0 in the finals. Yeah, because he lost a bunch of times to the Detroit Pistons in the Eastern Conference Finals. He lost when he came back to the Orlando Magic. I don't think you can just brag about being 6-0 in the finals and ignore other losses. But I do think if Jordan had gone to the finals 9 times and he went 6-3 like Tom Brady, that's more impressive. Let me bring in Eddie Garcia, find out what's shaking.
All right, Clay, we had the NBA trade deadline, of course, on Thursday. Anthony Davis, the big name, did not go anywhere. He's going to finish out the season with the Pelicans. Players that did move included the Raptors getting Marc Gasol from the Grizzlies. The Bucks pick up Nikola Mirotic from the Pelicans. And the 76ers ship down former number one overall pick Markel Fultz to the Magic. On the court, Lakers beat the Celtics in Boston 129-128 on a Rajon Rondo buzzer beater. LeBron James had a triple-double in the win, 28 points, 12 rebounds, and 12 assists. Raptors over the Hawks 119-101. Toronto gets its 40th win of the year. Raptors are 40-16 on the season. Thunder over the Grizzlies 117-95. Russell Westbrook gets his 8th straight triple-double, 15 points, 13 rebounds, and 15 assists for OKC. Pacers over the Clippers 116-92. Trailblazers top the Spurs 127-118. College basketball, number 4, Gonzaga had no trouble beating San Francisco 92-62. Wins for number 12 Houston, number 20 Iowa, and number 25 Cincinnati. This report brought to you by TrueCar. Online car shopping can be confusing, but not anymore with True Price from TrueCar. Now you can know the exact price you'll pay for your next car, so visit TrueCar and enjoy a more confident car buying experience. We'll be back to Outkick the Coverage in 10 seconds, but first a word from Farmers.
From a dog accidentally flooding a living room to a dog taking a joyride, we've covered it. Talk to Farmers. We know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers Truck Fire Insurance Exchanges and Affiliates. Products not available in every state.
Now back to Clay Travis and the Geico Outkick the Coverage studios.
Eric in Hollywood. Laker fans everywhere coming out of the woodwork, showing up. Yeah. Oh, the Lakers are back. What's up, Eric?
Yeah, Clay, you're wrong. I think this is a 2-year plan, and I think this offseason they're going to make the move to get AD, and if they don't, they'll pivot to get another stud along LeBron and shore up that supporting team. Thought they would win a championship in their first year together, and you're seeing they've got good assets, and this offseason, Magic and Pelinka are going to make the moves to surround LeBron, so this wasn't a 1-year plan. They're not going to win in their first year together. No Laker fan is that delusional that would happen, so you're way off and wrong again.
Lakers are the most delusional fan base in America. They're not going to win a championship with LeBron James, period. By the way, you can bet on this at the Superbook in Las Vegas. If you're so confident, go out to Las Vegas. Will the Lakers win a championship by the 2022 NBA Finals? So that's 19, 20, 21, 22. That's the 4 years LeBron has signed on for, right? Yes is plus 175, so you can make nearly 2-1 on your money. If you believe so desperately that LeBron is going to win a championship, no is minus 210. So all the smart people out in the desert will take your money at plus 175. Tripp just passed that along to me. They're smart. Eric in Hollywood and all the other faker Laker fans out there that are delusional are losing their minds over this fool's gold win. Victor in L.A. What's up, Victor?
Hey, what's going on? I love the show. Look, I don't know. Give me your take on this. I would have given the house. Got Davis. Got him to play with LeBron now. Got them to lose this season out. Just get them to know how to be cohesive with each other. Then next year, it wouldn't be just LeBron pulling in another free agent. They would have got somebody big. And then when you have three people, the only person I would not have given up was Rondo. Kept him, given up the house, kept them three, got another free agent, and then you'd be able to make a real challenge for the championship.
Well, look, I think that the Lakers were willing to give up whatever they needed to in order to get Anthony Davis. I think that the Pelicans wanted to wait and see what happens with the NBA draft lottery, who wins it. And then also that I think the Pelicans believe they're going to get Jason Tatum. And I think they see Jason Tatum from the Celtics as the best possible fit for their franchise going forward. So I think they're trying to get as much as they possibly can, and they see Tatum as an incredible possibility that's dangling out there that Danny Ainge just convinced them he might give up. And they see that as the best route to remake their franchise as rapidly as they possibly can in real time. Andy in Tennessee. What's up, Andy?
What's up? What's up, Clay? I got two things for you. One, I can't stand when a LeBron fanboy gets on there and talks about all the finals that he's made. In his career, I would say he's probably had the second best team three times in his whole career. That team he had last year was probably the sixth, seventh best team.
Yeah, that's a really good point about how bad the Eastern Conference is. So we should also put in the perspective when they've gotten to the Eastern Conference and they've gotten their ass kicked and it hasn't been remotely close like the last couple of years, is it really an accomplishment to get there when you're nowhere near the second best team? You just happen to be in a really weak conference for the last 7 or 8 years.
And another thing, I was going to Lakers games when they come to Charlotte or come to Atlanta when they were sorry, but I did not want LeBron James on this team because you know exactly what was going to happen before he got on the team. You know, Luke Walton's getting fired. That's happening. And you knew that he was trading players. Dude's a clown. He's a clown. I did not want that dude on the team. He's just a cancer. And what KD said about that man is the absolute truth, and his fanboys in the media did not want to hear it.
Thanks for the call. 877-996-6369. When you think about it, it's a good point. Should have just brought that up immediately. When you're not remotely close to winning a championship and you get there because your side of the conference is so weak, can you really brag about that? Last year, what would the Cavs have been? The fourth or fifth best team in the Western Conference?
Isn't that the same argument Brady haters make about the division his team plays
in? No, I don't think so at all, because the AFC is not overall really weak. You still have to get into the AFC and win playoff games. Is it true that the Jets and the Bills and the Dolphins have been dumpster fires collectively? Yes, but that's only six games of the season. They still have 10 other games against all the best teams in the NFL, theoretically.
Yeah, but it's still allowed the Patriots to have home field advantage all these
times. You still have to get into the playoffs and win those games, and you still have to win the Super Bowl. I mean, look, LeBron, if you think about LeBron in the finals, he got a miraculous Ray Allen three. He's won three game sevens, right? Am I correct in that? I think I'm correct in that. That if you change, maybe he's only two game sevens. I know they beat the Spurs to win in seven, I think, right? When they hit the Ray Allen three. They certainly won in seven against the Warriors. And I believe they won in seven the first time. Might have been six games the first time. I can't remember the first championship. But if you go back and look at those, you change like one play in each of the 3 years that he's won the title, and they're 0-9. I mean, he has been incredibly fortunate in the way that they have won those championships. And in the six that they haven't won, they haven't been close. It's not like you can point to any of the six that he lost and say, well, if you change a couple of plays, the Cavs or the Heat could have won those series. No. So LeBron has been insanely fortunate in the three times that he won a championship, that when he's gotten it there, he's gotten a big play made by a teammate, made by somebody. And look, he made the block against against Andre Iguodala, I think it was, in Game 7. But this guy is closer to 0-9 by far than he even is to 4-5 or 6-3 or 5-4.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Two stories, one positive, one negative. Let's start with the positive here as we begin hour two. Appreciate you spending your Friday morning with us. If you remember, a couple of years ago, I think now, Doug Adler, who was a tennis commentator at ESPN, was calling a match from the Australian Open involving Venus Williams. And there, do we have the audio, guys? I think we have the audio here. This is what it sounded like when he was calling that match.
Misses a first serve and Venus is all over her. And you'll see Venus move in and put the gorilla effect on. Charging.
So he meant as gorilla tennis. If you remember the commercial with Andre Agassi and Pete Sampras, where they played in the streets of New York, he meant gorilla warfare, as in she's charging in unexpected times. Someone on social media clipped this this match and then argued that he was calling her a gorilla, as in the animal. ESPN panicked. They fired him after making him apologize, and Doug Adler was publicly branded a racist. Most people out in sports media were not willing to let Doug Adler even like show the remotest like sense of, you know, questioning whether or not that was actually anything racist, which it wasn't. It's a ludicrous era that we live in, where people are so quick to take offense and to label things racist. So we had him on this show, and we've had him on this show either two or three times. The only media entity anywhere in the country that would talk to this guy. Then the Today Show ended up doing a story, and he filed a lawsuit. He filed a lawsuit arguing that ESPN had unfairly treated him. And if you remember this story, he was so crushed by the negative media attention and the loss of his good name that ultimately ended up having a heart attack. He almost died. He's been fighting this battle for a couple of years. Well, he filed a lawsuit, and it was set to go to trial in Los Angeles in May. And finally, ESPN has admitted wrongdoing here. And I got to give credit to the new president of ESPN, Jimmy Pitaro, because I'm told that this decision went all the way to the top of ESPN. They said, you know what? We screwed this guy. We treated him unfairly. Gorilla effect as in guerrilla warfare, not gorilla as in the animal. And so they have brought now Doug Adler back. They have paid him out a big settlement, and he now has a contract with ESPN to come back and call tennis matches. So this is, I think, an ideal solution to this issue. About as good of a story, I think, as you will get in the world of sports, where a big company like ESPN is effectively acknowledging, you know what, we overreacted to the social media mob. We overreacted to what was clearly not a racist comment by Doug Adler. And not only did we do this wrong, we're going to pay this guy out a bunch of money in damages, and we're going to rehire him and allow him to call tennis matches once more on the ESPN network. Doug Adler feels like he got his name back. He feels like he has gotten vindication. That's what he's been after for 2 years. It almost killed him. This is a positive story. I think that we, as a part of the larger OutKick universe, deserve a lot of credit for helping to right a wrong here. And I feel almost 100% confident that if we had never had Doug Adler on this show, if we also had shunned him, as many people did in the world of media, He would not have gotten this apology from ESPN. He would not have gotten rehired, and he would not have gotten a big settlement check to help to pay for ESPN's mistreatment of him over the past couple of years. So that is a very positive story. A lot of people have been asking for updates in this story. You guys, by the way, can weigh in. I'll open up the phone lines and allow you to weigh in on Doug Adler. 877-996-6369. But unfortunately, we still haven't won the war here. We won a big battle there against the ridiculous political correct army out there. But I can't. When I saw this story about Major League Baseball, I couldn't believe that this is where we are still as a country when it comes to the world of sports. They are changing the name of the disabled list in Major League Baseball to the injured list. The DL will now become a thing of the past. It will now be the IL because they are afraid that they are offending disabled people. I swear to God, this is real life. I'm not. I couldn't even make up this this idea. Major League Baseball is replacing the disabled list with the injured list. I mean, when I hear this, my head almost wants to explode. First of all, the word disability. If you are on disability at work, it means you can't work. It doesn't mean that you dislike people who are disabled. It doesn't mean that this is somehow offensive. It means that you are unable to go to work, which is how the disabled list came to be. Now it's been changed to the injured list. And I just legitimately have to ask, is there a single person in my listening audience that was offended by the use of the term disabled list? Is there even one person? We're on in all 50 states. People all over the world are listening. Is there anyone in my entire audience offended by Major League Baseball's use of the disabled list, or as it's often shortened, the DL, that they needed to change it to the injured list? I'm going to start with my crew, 877-996-6369. Danny G, doesn't this seem like a made-up story that Major League Baseball is having to do away with the term disabled list and replace it with injured list?
This is like a bad Saturday Night Live skit, I swear. When I saw this come across the ticker yesterday, I had to look twice, and I still didn't believe it. And then when we talked about it off the air this morning before the show started, I still am scratching my head. I have never connected the dots on those two things. This whole time, my entire life loving baseball, there was never one time where I heard that phrase and connected it to that.
Even if you did, it's not a negative. Like, sometimes people get hurt and they're not able to play in a sporting event. They're on the disabled list. Their body is not abled for that purpose. Just like if you have ever been at work and you got disability, that means that you're not able to work. Or if you've been in the military and you got disability. I am like just totally blown away by the fact that this was ever an issue. Eddie Garcia, is this insane?
Like Danny, I also did a double take when I saw this and had to check to make sure this was not a joke. I also never once considered that this might be an offensive term, but I guess such are the times that
this
we live
is
in.
The problem with people being so woke in American society right now is we're constantly running around doing things that don't actually have any impact. And in so doing, we are changing things that the vast majority of people who are reasonable and have rational thought processes never had any issue with. And I think the problem is we are enabling and encouraging stupid people to complain about stupid things. Dub, I mean, this is insanity, right?
Baseball has so many more problems to worry about than this issue right here. How about getting kids to watch the game, because the game is so boring that no one under the age of 45 watches the games?
How about figuring out where Machado and Harper are going? This is
that'd be a good idea too.
This is crazy. I mean, they've been free agents now for like a year, and it's still not resolved. I think baseball, look, this could be, I think, a really fun process if baseball did what the NFL does or did what the NBA does. You know, when their free agency starts, if we had like a really exciting pursuit to see what's going to happen with Manny Machado and with Bryce Harper, instead, like, this thing hasn't even been remotely resolved, and we're almost to spring training. Roberto, disabled list. Were you just, like, curled up in the fetal position, crying over the use of the term?
I love baseball, man, and for them to do this, it's been around since 1966. It's so stupid. When a guy's hurt, he's disabled. He can't play, so that's why they call it the disabled list. It's, like, nothing negative at all. It's like, come on, really?
All right, so that's the negative, and we're going to open up phone lines, 877-996-6369. On the positive front, Danny G, if we never put Doug Adler on the radio on this show when everybody else is shunning him and they're not allowing his story to be told, is there any way ESPN basically apologizes, pays him out, and brings him back?
I don't think so. I think you shed a lot of light on this story. I know we give you a lot of crap over a lot of different things, which we should, because we're not paid to kiss your butt, and you don't want those kind of people on your show, which is credit to you. But the first time you had him on the show, I think it kind of caught even your staff off guard, because he was so emotional on the air, especially that first time you had him on.
Yeah.
I'll have to go back to the archives and find that first interview so we could repost that.
Yeah, repost it or maybe even replay it for people who haven't heard, because this is, I think, if we still have that, that would be a really good interview, I think, to bring back maybe next week for people who aren't familiar with that story. Now that we've got some conclusion to it, I think it's a rarity, and I hope that we're starting to move in this direction where the perpetually outraged and the perpetually offended are not able to expand the scope of their outrage and offense to things that clearly are not outrageous or offensive. Now, obviously, we're getting the opposite side of this story right now with the disabled list name change, which is ridiculous. But I'm starting to see good signs that sanity may be prevailing in the world of sports, and that craziness and you know, the basically the perpetual outrage machine where people are always looking for reasons to be offended, it's starting not to work in the world of sports. That a lot of good people, all different race, gender, ethnicities, and religions out there are starting to say, you know what, this whole woke thing is totally out of control. I really do think there's a strong pushback against it. And I do think it can be pretty significant. Eddie, do you think that Doug Adler would have gotten this this redemption if we had not put him on this show?
You know, honestly, I'm not sure, but I will say when I heard the news, I kind of felt like it was a win for us in some way. I felt really good about it, and you know, certainly I credit you for giving him all the attention that he got and bringing the story to light.
Yeah, I think it's important, and this is kind of my idea in general. You know, to the extent you climb up on a soapbox or you have the opportunity to talk to a lot of people, and we certainly do every morning with this show, I think as a society in America today, we need to stop assuming the worst about everyone. And I feel like, and I've said this for a long time, but the idea that you would fire somebody because of one Facebook post or because of one Twitter post or because of one, you know, 10-second viral snippet, we're all in some way at the mercy of the larger American community in a way we never have been before with social media. And my assumption is always, maybe this is a flaw in me, and maybe this is just having been raised in a Baptist church as a kid where you believe to the very essence of everything in the concept of forgiveness, my belief is I don't assume the worst about anyone, right? And you can criticize me for that, say that's being gullible. You can say that's being too kind, everything else. I don't assume when I see a viral video or I see someone's tweet that everybody's suddenly outraged about, or I see some Facebook page, I don't assume, oh, that person is evil, right? Oh, that I don't automatically go to this person is evil and this is evidence of their evilness. And I think in order to fire Doug Adler, in that situation. The leaps of logic you had to follow to believe that he has been calling tennis matches for 20 years and suddenly in a random Australian Open tennis match, he decided to call Venus Williams a gorilla. That's a massive leap. And frankly, it's also more racist, in my opinion, by the people who assume the worst than it is of him to begin with. Because when I heard that, if I were watching, I would have been thinking gorilla effect, or I wouldn't have been thinking, oh, Venus Williams is black, that means she's an ape, right? Like, I'm not wired in a way to believe in a pejorative about a race to begin with. And so the people who are, in my opinion, are actually the racist ones. And I think we're starting to see some reasonableness start to govern. And I have ripped ESPN because I think they've led the woke media brigade for a long time. I try to call spades a spade, right? I try to be on this show and be as honest as I possibly can for 3 hours every day. I think that ESPN got that right, and I think they're recognizing that many of the decisions they've made over the last 4 or 5 years have been wrong, and I give them credit for being willing to step up to the table here and acknowledge a wrong and fix the situation with Doug Adler as best they can. Because look, it's hard to make good decisions all day long when you're running a big company, right? Let's be honest. You got tons of things on your desk all day long, and I think a lot of companies, when they see this viral outrage start to bubble up, they decide the easiest thing to do is just placate the angry people. The problem with that is you encourage them to continue that behavior, right? If you're a parent, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you allow your kid to misbehave and you reward that misbehavior and you continue to do the same thing over and over again, the results are not going to change. It's like, I don't know if you guys saw the Jeff Bezos story. It came out yesterday evening. He was getting blackmailed by the National Enquirer. There's probably been a ton of people who've gotten blackmailed by the National Enquirer over the years. Instead of succumbing to their blackmail, he flipped the script on them and published all the emails from them trying to blackmail him. Props to Jeff Bezos there. Is it embarrassing? Yes. Is it probably humiliating on some level for him? Yes. But is he also helping to disallow that to happen for everybody in the years ahead? Yes. It's like, this is not rocket science, right? I mean, the reason why the United States government general policy is we don't negotiate with terrorists, because if you negotiate with terrorists, you set the precedent that terrorists can do things that require you to take them seriously and sit down and negotiate with them. And I think the perspective you have to have with terrorists is, no, we don't negotiate with you. Got a bunch of calls. Guys want to weigh in on a variety of subjects. Let's hit them. Tommy in Florida. What's up, Tommy?
Hey, man. I actually listened to your the interview with Adler, a year and a half ago or whenever you first did it. It actually had me in tears. And yeah, the question that I had, I have a comment for you after the question, is what did Venus Williams do?
She never commented on it.
She should have come out. What, that?
She never commented. I agree with you. She wouldn't answer any questions. She should. I agree with you. She should have come out and said, this is ridiculous. I think this is an example of social media mob losing their minds. I appreciate you guys trying to protect me, but I don't need protection here. His intent was not ill will. And she could have ended this story. It's a good point. If she had used her common humanity there, she could have saved him from this social media mob to begin with.
If you remember, and then I have my comment, but if you remember, Tiger Woods did that for that girl on the golf channel. He said that she didn't mean that. She wasn't saying it like that. And he saved her job. The comment that I have for you is people like you need to keep doing what you're doing, because this is all getting absolutely ridiculous. You should call out of spite, just to say, we're not doing this, because you're exactly right. This country's getting out of control with this politically correct garbage, and you do really deserve a lot of credit. Nobody knew who that Doug Adler guy was until that your piece. So thank you very much for doing that.
I appreciate the call. Mike in Modesto. What's up, Mike?
Clay, I pretty much almost give the exact same thoughts. I, too, was listening that day and was horrified and saddened by that story. And, Clay, I thank you so much that you are willing to take a stand on your show and say what you need to say. And it's different from everyone else. And that guy owes you a lot because you gave him the time when no one else will, and I'm so glad he's been vindicated, paid back, and it's about time ESPN gets the message. Go woke, go broke. Maybe they've learned, Clay. Thank you. Great show as always.
Appreciate the call. I do think that that it's an important lesson. I mean, I really do. And I think the thing that is a little bit scary to me, and not a little bit, I think it's very scary, is there are a lot of reasonable people who knew that Doug Adler story was total BS, and they work in the media with me, and as soon as I put him on the radio, my phone blew up with so many different people that you would recognize saying, thanks for telling that guy's story. But they were also afraid of coming out and defending him, because they were afraid that the accusations against him would transfer to them. It's like a scarlet letter. If somebody, it's viral, right? Like if a mob is angry at somebody, there are so many people who are afraid of standing up to that mob and saying, you guys are losing your minds here, because they're afraid that anger will transfer to them and they'll end up being the target. And I think maybe this is my law background, where you get used to defending people who are charged with heinous crimes, and your job is to provide them the best defense possible. It doesn't mean that you think they're without blame. It doesn't mean that you don't think somebody should go to jail for committing a crime. But under our Constitution, we have an adversarial system, and it's my job, and I've done this, if I'm representing a murderer, to represent that murderer to the best of my ability. Doesn't mean that I think murder's okay. Doesn't mean that I think that there shouldn't be consequences for poor behavior. It just means that I take my duty to defend someone in an adversarial system in a court of law very seriously. Well, now what I do is I look at cases out there like Doug Adler. I look at all the facts, and sometimes it terrifies me that the guy can be completely in the right and have done nothing wrong, and all of the consequences are coming down on the wrong side. So I'm willing to stand out there and give people a target. You go check my mentions every single day. The number of people who live to attack me is substantial. But I kind of enjoy it. I'm perfectly fine being in the line of fire and having people angry because I'm taking a side that they're not comfortable with. And I think that's important. I think it's important in the country today to have a wide variety of opinions and not allow a vocal minority that is mob rule driven on social media to dictate the direction of our country in sports and otherwise. Nick, let's see, Dave in Florida. What's up, Dave?
Hey, good morning, man. Love your show.
Appreciate that.
Hey, I want to comment on the whole MLB. I mean, this is ridiculous. I mean, you guys are absolutely right. You need to find more ways to get the youth into your game. You need to find a way to make your game more exciting. I love playing baseball, but I hate watching it on TV. It's boring.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, they need to find a way to get the off season more exciting, you know, and also let me comment on this whole, like, you know, politically correct woke movement. It's stupid. It's another way of using a race card. It doesn't matter if you're black, white, whoever's using it is wrong. This country is getting a lot softer. If you don't like it, move on. You know, thank you very much, man.
Yeah, thanks for the call. Jack in Texas, last call here before we go to break. Then we're going to be joined by Jeff Schwartz. Jack, what you got for me?
Hey, man, I'm a fairly new listener, so I didn't hear about this, but I want to thank you for having the courage to take the stand and everything you do, because we got to be careful of the next thing PETA will sue and make NFL change the name of the pup list, because it gives pups a bad name.
That's a good point. Physically unable to perform list definitely does give a bad name to the puppies out there. All right, when we come back, next week we'll play that Doug Adler clip for you, and we'll also put it out on social media. But we'll play that entire interview for you now that we've got a good conclusion to that story. because we do have a lot of new listeners, people who may not be familiar with that story. It's one of the things I'm proud of that we've done on the show.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
Jeff Schwartz with us now. Jeff, you got two kids with the flu. Is that what I understand?
Yes. One of them, I think, is ready to go to school today. No fever last 24 hours. And the other one I thought was ready to go, and she is not. So, yeah, it is... It's been rough, to say the least.
I know that this has been a rough flu season in general. Did they both get it simultaneously, and have you and your wife gotten sick yet?
So my son got his like Thursday night, Friday. When I got back from Atlanta, he had his flu, and she got hers like Monday. But it's going through the class. I mean, vaccine, no vaccine, doesn't matter. I haven't gotten sick. My wife hasn't gotten sick. My parents are here. They haven't gotten sick, I don't think. And so I think we avoided it. The adults avoided it. But the kids, man, it's been rough.
I know you watch, and there's a lot of people out there with sick kids or with sick family right now. This is, I understand, the busiest time of the flu season so far. When you look right now, you just mentioned you came back from the Super Bowl. Who should be the favorite next year? If you had to bet right now on a team to win the Super Bowl, who would you take?
New England?
Why
would you not? They have like 12 draft picks. They get Isaiah Wynn back, who they drafted last year. He'll probably play left tackle when they let Trent Brown go. They have to find another pass rusher. They're going to probably let Trey Flowers go, even though they generate the pass rush with their linebackers a lot of the time in those twists and stuff. But how do you know? They play again. They're in the AFC East again. They get the Chiefs at home. Probably that's probably opening night, I would imagine, it would be Chiefs and Patriots in New England. And I don't know how you bet against them, especially if they get to play at home again. They home field advantage throughout the playoffs. They're going to be right back on the Super Bowl next year.
Will the Lakers ever win a championship with LeBron James?
I hope so, as a Lakers fan. I mean, last night was pretty amazing, right? Everyone had counted them out. They were down 20, I think, in the first half, and then came back and won that game. I mean, they failed at the trade deadline, and I saw you tweet about it, other people talking about it. I mean, I just wish they would have done it quietly, like everyone else had done it. It was either, you know, if you didn't get Anthony Davis, then you didn't get him. But they were so public about it, back and forth with Dell Demps and leaking stuff to the media. Just get it done behind the scenes, or don't report it at all. Lakers fans are fine with what's happening right now. We have LeBron. We know, you know, free agency's coming up this year. If we strike out a free agency, there's a big problem. But the whole trade debacle just looks bad. All the young guys are pissed now. I just wish, like, now that I'm a Lakers fan, I mean, I'm not now. Now LeBron is a Laker, I should say, and I love LeBron, man. I could see why people get tired of him. It's so much drama all the time. He's trying to play and be the GM at the same time with his agency. It's a lot happening. If you're a fan.
Do you you were an athlete? We're talking to Jeff Schwartz for 8 years in the NFL, and obviously the coverage between an average NFL player and stuff like what LeBron and Kevin Durant gets is different. But do you blame the media for covering the question of whether or not Kevin Durant's going to go to New York? Isn't that what fans would rather talk about in the NBA than the fact that the Warriors are going to win another championship?
Yes, I thought Durant came off as real childish. It's funny, the guy who has fake burner accounts is like questioning the media on the way that they handle everything. This is another case, in my opinion, you talk about this often, about social media influencing the way that people react to certain stories. Because I would say that most people who are fans of the NBA do not dislike Kevin Durant. But, right. You know, but there's a vocal minority on social media who probably tweet him all the time and send him mean things, and he hears stories about whatnot, and reads blogs on social media, and then he has this opinion that people don't like him, and therefore he has to defend himself and go on this whole speech yesterday about the media. And what's funny is I saw media members who benefit off this storyline, right, who talk about Kevin Durant going to the Knicks, defending Kevin Durant and what he said to the media yesterday. Like, grow up, dude. Like, you know how it works. You have to talk to the media. And the way you responded the other day gives the media more ammo, in my opinion, to go after you even more, because now they know they can get a story out of you. Now they know they can irritate you, and now they know that whenever they ask you this question, you're going to have a response that's going to go viral. And I just think it was unfair to the reporter. It's just his job. They have to come up with stories every single day, and they have to find something to write about. That's their job, and if it's writing about Kevin Durant to the Knicks, then grow up, dude. go play basketball. Don't worry about it. If there's nothing to worry about, then why are you making a big stink out of this? So I thought it came off as real childish and really just something that felt beneath one of the better players in the NBA.
Not to mention his own free agency is created by him. He could have signed long-term deals instead of creating constant player options for himself. And also, you already walked away from Oklahoma City and went to a new place, so the idea you might go somewhere else new would not be a shock. Can you come back with us for the final segment here of the hour?
Yeah.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Schwartz, we talked about the Rondo shot. Laker fans can enjoy their brief moment in the sunshine before the storm returns. But Nick Foles, where should he go? What's going to happen?
Where should he go? I think he should go somewhere like Jacksonville. If you look at the amount of teams who really need him, it's not a lot, right? Jacksonville, the Dolphins, maybe. I'm trying to rack my head around who would actually could use his cert. A lot of teams have young quarterbacks that they're working through, you know, some growing pains. They're not going to want to bring Nick Foles to start. I mean, there's a very small window of teams that really could use his services. So I think Jacksonville would be one of them. They could use him. I mean, maybe even the Giants, if they don't want to draft Dwayne Haskins, or, you know, they don't want to draft a quarterback where they're at, could use Nick Foles. If I were the Eagles, I wouldn't bother franchise tagging him. I would just let him walk. You've gotten the most out of him you can. There's no guarantee, obviously, that you can trade him for what you expect to get and what value you expect. I think his value is down now compared to where it was last year. He didn't, you know, he played okay in the regular season. He played, you know, he played well in that 3-game stretch, and he played okay against the Bears, and then we saw what happened, in New Orleans, I think it was. So I think that the Eagles just won't get what they want. I wouldn't bother doing it. Plus, it seems like the Eagles obviously love Nick Foles. They paid him that bonus this year that they didn't, you know, that he didn't have to get, but they paid it to him for playing time. And if you franchise tag him and can't work out a trade, you kind of ruin his market, because if you keep him longer than free agency and the draft, like you can rescind his tag in mid-May like the Panthers did to Josh Norman, there's no market for him anymore, because Jacksonville's found a solution there. They drafted a quarterback, or the Giants have done the same thing, or Miami. And then you've kind of screwed Nick Foles. And I just don't expect the Eagles to do that. So maybe they franchise tag him and try to work out a deal before free agency with someone. If not, I just think they should let him go. You've got the most out of him. It's a great story. I don't think we appreciate how remarkable his story is and what the Eagles did last year. I mean, you don't have that happen where a backup quarterback comes in and plays better than the presumptive MVP in Carson Wentz. It's a remarkable story, and he deserves the credit for that. So does the coaching staff. I just let him walk. Just let him walk.
Do you think that the XFL, which starts play next year and now has somehow managed to snag Bob Stoops as a coach and general manager, which is a huge coup, or the AFFL or the AAFL, I think. Do you think either of those leagues will end up being successful? Is there a demand for spring football?
Well, one starts tomorrow, I believe, the AAF, and there's lines posted. I hope you unlock it in today and pick an AAF game for this weekend. out of nowhere, the best part about the AAF this weekend, I saw there's a heated quarterback battle in Memphis between Zach Mettenberger and Christian Hackenberger. I mean, who could stand that? I mean, that action is wild, right, for tomorrow for the Memphis team. I guess survive. I mean, the NFL needs a minor league, I think, in my opinion. It just depends on what that is. The XFL, to me, we have to see what they're going to be in this new version. How serious are they going to take to football? Is it going to be more gimmick than not? The AAF, the league starting now, is backed by Bill Polian. I mean, it's got some good people. It's got respectable coaches. It does have NFL players and guys trying to make it back in the NFL. Remember, the best thing the XFL brought to the NFL was some of the technology, right? The Skycam that the XFL had, the NFL took over. And so I think that the best thing that's going to happen here is, you know, these leagues to survive are going to have to embrace gambling, I think. They're going to have to be a little bit more progressive in the way that they view gambling and fantasy football, probably, and all that. And there'll be some technology, some sort of fan experience that probably comes out of this more than the players that are able to get to the National Football League.
Good stuff, as always, my man. We'll talk to you next week. Have a good weekend. Good luck getting those kids healthy again from the flu.
All right. Thank you, guys. Take care.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.